Good morning. Everybody's awake, so I don't need to shout, right? It's a great thing to be in the house of God this morning. Hope all of you are well in body, mind, and spirit. I've had a very, very rough week, and for which I'm thankful. Actually, I am, because it beats the alternative, right? People ask me, how are you doing? I say, well, I could be better. But then, again, I could also be worse. So I'm thankful for where I am. And we need that attitude sometimes. But it's great to be here this morning. It was a little bit of a struggle coming up with a topic. How many of you like leftovers? Yeah, I was leaning towards leftovers this morning. But God had other plans, so here we are. We've already been prayed for, so we're going to jump right in. And I promise you, you'll be out in time for the Young at Heart senior luncheon. I've been to one of those, Ron. It was really fun. There are many interesting characters scattered throughout the Bible. Before I start, the older I get, the smarter God seems. Amen? Everything he's told us, everything he's written in his word, believe it or not, is there for a reason. Even those boring genealogies that we like to skip over when we're reading, they are there for a reason. So there's many interesting characters scattered throughout the Bible. Some of them have a prominent place in the historical record. And some are mentioned only a few times and others only in passing. There are even a few characters that are completely unnamed and referred to only as a certain man or a certain woman. So today we'll take a brief look. Well, I don't know how brief it's going to be, but we're going to take a look at an Old Testament character who played a prominent role in the history of Israel and the Jewish people. Today we will look at a man called Solomon and meditate for the time that we have on the topic, what's your butt? With one T only. Okay? I see wheels turning in the minds. What's your butt? But with one T. Solomon's life was interesting from the beginning. Most of us, if not all of us, know that he was the son of King David, who was born after David had had an adulterous relationship with a woman called Bathsheba. In spite of his rather inauspicious or unspectacular beginning, God still chose Solomon to sit on the throne after his father David. What does this tell us? God does not always choose the best or the brightest, the biggest or the smartest, the most perfect or the nicest, the most prepared, or the most educated. He has his own criteria that he uses. And sometimes our minds can wrap itself around that. Of course, we also see the account going back to his father David, of when the prophet Samuel went to David's father Jesse in search of a king, and Jesse began to parade all his sons, whom he, Jesse, considered the best king material
before the prophet, only for them all to be rejected one after the other. It was only after Jesse was done that Samuel asked if those were all his sons, knowing that he had not yet seen the chosen one, the forgotten one, out tending to his business, minding the flock, was the one God had chosen. Samuel had to remind them that while man looks at the outward appearance, probably because that's all we can see, God looks at the heart. From David's choosing, we see and we learn, hopefully, that God will find you where you are. And he will meet you exactly where you are. Amen? He will find you because he has chosen you and purposed something special for you. And you can't hide from him. You can't. Some of us tried for a long time. Yes, some of us tried for a long time. They say God is a God of second chances. Well, it took more than two chances to get some of us where we needed to be. And we're still working on it up till today. From Solomon's choosing, we learn that good things can come from bad places. And that your origin does not determine your destiny. Amen? Your origin does not determine your destiny. You may have gone through stuff they may have told you from the time you are young that you are not going to amount to anything, that you are good for nothing, X, Y, Z. Probably told David the same thing, or Solomon for that matter. But when God has you in his plan and has a purpose for you to accomplish in his grand design for the redemption and edification of mankind, he will find you right where you are, whatever condition you are in. You can take that to the bank. We're going to look at all the scriptures, three passages of scripture mainly this morning, and they're all from the book of 1 Kings chapter. We're going to start with 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, verse 5, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. As for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. So God had visited, we see here in this passage that we just read, that says that God visited him for the second time. That tells me God was serious about what he was saying. You know, most of us might get it the first time God visits us and speaks to us, right? But no, we don't. He visited him for the first time because Solomon had just ascended to the throne, and God asked him what he wanted from him. We see this account in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Verse 6, and Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him his son to sit on this throne as it is today. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I would lengthen your days. What does the scripture that we just read say? It pleased God that Solomon, he apparently already had a little seed of wisdom. He had seen God at work in his father's life. And so instead of asking for what a lot of people would have been asking for, he asked God for wisdom, for discernment, for a heart of that could judge his people fairly. And God said, because you asked for wisdom, notice, God, as soon as he asked, God said, I have already given it to you. Right? It says in Isaiah that before we even ask, he has already answered. I have given you not only the wisdom that you asked for, but because you asked for wisdom and did not ask for riches and the death of your enemies and long life, I will give you also those things. And I will make you richer than any before you or after you, and wiser than any before you and after you. God had kept his end of the promise. Solomon not only gained wisdom, but also great riches and fame beyond the wildest imagination. Our minds today can't fathom the vastness of the riches that he had accumulated. You can read that for yourself, the rest of chapter 9, and all of 1 Kings chapter 10 describes the untold wealth and fame of King Solomon. I mean, everything he touched, he had the Midas touch. Everything he touched was gold. He only drank out of golden vessels. Thousands and thousands. I mean, if you compare his wealth to anything today, he will far exceed anybody that's even alive today. But God is a God that always keeps his end of the bargain. He kept his end of the bargain with David. He kept his end of the bargain with Solomon, and it did not end there. He is still keeping his end of the bargain with us today. Believe you me, sometimes it may seem that he may have forgotten us. Sometimes we're going through stuff and it seems that God is far away from us. No, no, no. Sometimes we tend to drift a little bit. Sometimes we tend to move out of position a little bit. Sometimes we tend to grow weak and weary a little bit. Sometimes we tend to just let other things distract us from the work of God in our lives. And those are the buts. What's your but? 1 Kings 11, verses 1 through 13. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. You definitely couldn't accuse him of being picky or of any discrimination. Right? Yeah. From the nations of whom the Lord has said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines.
I have a problem sometimes contending with one. Fortunately, she's not here to hear me. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Verse 9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give you one tribe. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So God is mentioning David a lot here and comparing Solomon to David. Now we know from the account of the life of David that he was by no means perfect, right? Like I said, all these accounts are in the scripture for a reason. So most of us this morning who are not perfect can take heart that God can still use us, right? The difference between Solomon and David was in the heart. We see it right here in the passage. While David was by no means sinless, indeed he sinned many times during his lifetime, he was always quick to repent and ask God's forgiveness. He never turned his heart against God. He never forsook God. He always knew that God was his God, was a sovereign God, and was able to see him through every situation that he faced. But he also knew that he was frail in the flesh. And so when the flesh failed and he found himself sinning, he woke up and he came back to the source. He came back to God. He cried to God. He pleaded with God. And so in spite of the fact that he had all these faults, God was still able to see that David was a man after his own heart. Because he had a heart for God. He had the desire to please God. He had the desire to do what God had called him to do and had commanded him to do and to fulfill that calling in his life. That's the difference. Contrast that with Solomon. God has given all of us promises in his word. We have a promise that if we believe in our hearts that Jesus died and rose from the dead and confess with our mouth his lordship of our lives, we will be saved. That's a promise. Amen? He's given all of us many, many promises in his word. But as these three words, three very short but very powerful words. The first one is only two letters. And the other, one is two, one is three, and one is four. The first one is if. Just two letters but a very powerful word. And then the second one is four letters, is then. And then the third one is but. We see that pattern repeated all through the scriptures. If you will keep my word, if you will just worship me, if you will just see me as your source, if you will look up to me as your only God in your life, if you will confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If, then I will bless you. Then I will strengthen you. Then I will multiply you. Then I will prosper you. Most of us like to focus on the then and not the if. The then always follows the if. All through scriptures. The then always follows the if. So then I will bless you. But if you do not, this is what's going to happen. This will be the result. And most of the time, we know what the result is going to be. We can't claim ignorance. We can't claim, you know, experience. The word experience, people like to experience things for themselves. Experience is a bad teacher. You know why? Because teacher experience gives the test before the lesson. The test always comes before the lesson. You learn it after you've suffered something. You learn what the speed limit is after you see those flashing lights behind you and receive a big fat ticket. But we should be able to learn from the experiences of others. And that's what wisdom
Divine wisdom that comes from God equips us to be able to do that. And you would think Solomon, with all his wisdom, would have known better. But no, this account is here for a reason. Solomon's butt was the women. That's what the scripture says. But he loved many foreign women. I don't know if it had been different. It was all domestic women. But the scripture says foreign women. That's a message for another time. So what's your butt this morning? I don't know exactly what it is, but I propose to you this morning that your butt, that didn't sound too good. Your butt is anything, any place, any person, any object, or any idea that causes you or me, one, to either refuse the free gift of salvation, or to fail to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives, or number three, to outright turn our backs on Him after we have experienced His saving grace. Let me repeat that. And these are my words. Your butt is anything, any place, any person, any object, or any idea that causes you or me to either refuse the free gift of salvation or fail to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives, or to outright turn our backs on Him after we have experienced His saving grace. So what's your butt this morning? We see accounts all through Scripture. The rich young ruler's butt was his possessions. Everything was fine till Jesus told him, well, if you want to follow me, go sell all that you have and come and follow me. And the Scripture says he went away sad. For each of us, there's a butt. Hopefully, all of us here have not allowed any of our butts to prevent us from accepting Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. If so, please don't leave here today until you make that life-changing decision. That's the most important decision you could ever make in your entire life. We didn't allow anything to prevent us from becoming saved. What's our butt now that's hindering us from being as effective as we can in fulfilling the purpose for which God saved us, for which He chose us? The scripture says He plucked us out of the miry clay. What's our butt this morning? We know ourselves. Let's search our own hearts. What butts are there in our lives that have the potential to cause us to walk away from the goodness of God? We've already seen, we've already heard, we've already tasted of His goodness. But there may be some things, some people, some ideas that we might still be flirting with, that we might still be thinking about, that we might still be engaging in, that if we're not careful, could cause us to walk away from God.
I have the worship team come up. And here's what I'm talking about. In the first chapter of the book of Psalms, we see a progression. What does it say? Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not. Let me read it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So you see, it's a progression. So we start by walking. That's the flirting stage. We're just dipping our toes in the water. We just, you know, when I was much younger, I had this foolish idea that it was okay to try anything at least once. Bad idea. Got me into a lot of trouble. But we flirt with sin. Then what happens? Then we stand. So we're walking, and then the next thing we stop, we stand. Yeah, we're becoming more comfortable now. And then what happens? Then we sit in the seat of the scornful. So first we flirt with sin. Then we become comfortable with sin. And then we become entangled in and by sin. That's what happened to Solomon. He didn't just flirt. His dad did. I don't think his dad ever even reached a state of becoming comfortable with sin. He always knew sin was a bad thing and was quick to confess. But he played with it. We read the passage in 1 Kings 11. Then he became comfortable. And finally, he became entangled. He couldn't help himself. His heart was completely turned against the God who had appeared twice to him. That's a sobering lesson for us this morning. Let none of us think that it can't happen to us. Let none of us think that we're so righteous or holy that we can't, if we allow ourselves, become entangled and squeezed. There's a picture of an octopus with the tentacles comes to mind this morning. Entangled, wrapped up. Can no longer free ourselves even if we wanted to. That we no longer even have the desire to pray for forgiveness because we passed that point. We're no longer looking up to God who is able and willing and wants to forgive us. Believe you me, no matter how far we've gone, if we turn back to him, his word says he will forgive us. Sometimes we go so far we don't want to turn back to him. And that's what happened to Solomon. He built altars to the foreign gods. Totally contrary to what the God of the universe had commanded him to do. So the question remains, what's your but this morning? What is it? Who is it? Where is it? What is preventing us from accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior if we haven't done that already? If we have, what is preventing us from becoming fully effective in realizing the purpose of God in our lives?
And hopefully, there is nothing in our lives that we will allow to entangle us and squeeze God's goodness out of us and turn our hearts against Him and to worship any other gods. May that not be our portion. Please stand with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. There's someone here this morning that's had a particularly heavy burden for a loved one. I don't know who that is, but God knows. And He wants you to know this morning that He's seen your tears, He's heard your cries, and it's going to be well. It's going to be well. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are this morning. We thank You that You're sovereign. All power, all dominion, all authority belongs to You, because You're the creator of all that was, that is, and that is to come. We worship You this morning. We exalt You this morning. We declare Your lordship in our lives this morning. And Father, we come committing every person in this place and listening, watching and joining us through technology. We pray this morning that Your presence will be felt in a real way in our lives. We pray, Lord, that if there's any buts in our lives this morning, first of all, You will show us what they are, and then You will give us the strength to overcome them and serve You and You alone, Lord. Because Your way is the only way that leads to eternal life. We pray for those that are sick in our body, in our church body this morning. We pray for speedy recovery. We pray for healing, Lord, from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. In the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for relationships this morning. Those that have been broken, those that are afraid, Lord, You're in the relationship mending business, Lord. Bring healing in our families, our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, Lord. We know that the enemy has the family as one of his greatest targets. Help us to live after Your word. Father, in every battle that we will fight this week, we declare victory by reason of the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for who You are and for what You continue to do in our lives. Dismiss us now with Your blessing. May Your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen. You are dismissed.